Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up. Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community.
Grateful. Grateful. Grateful for all the love that I have. Grateful. Grateful. Grateful.
I am.
needs, the challenges, the growth, the past, the present, the future, the joy in your heart, the fact that you can hear, that you can feel, that you can see, and look back and say, wow, I am here. I am here, been through a lot, but I am here. That's enough to be grateful for, the fact that you're here, right here, right now. Karen Drucker, grateful. To find out more about Karen Drucker, her website address is karendrucker.com. Karendrucker.com. And you can download the copy or get the album or do whatever you feel like doing. whatever you do, I'm grateful. If you do nothing, I'm grateful. If you do something, I'm grateful, because that's just how I roll. I love to just be in great attitude, so I stay grateful. And there are moments where I forget, but something would always pop up to say, hey, dude, snap out of it. Snap out of it. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you certainly make a difference. And we are determined not to trick you. We are focused. Our intention is to treat you to yourself, treat you with some soul food, something that connects, that wakes you up, that makes you feel like, wow, I'm here, I belong, I'm here for a reason. Wow. Yeah, I have something amazing. We don't need to scare you. We just want to keep your life sacred. We want to remind you. Now, this is just we want to move those letters around. From moving you from being scared of life and say, oh, life is sacred. And you're like, really? But I've been told all my life I'm supposed to be scared. Well, they don't want you to know the truth. It's sacred. Really? So if life is sacred, does that mean I'm sacred? Oh, yes, you are. So I shouldn't be scared of life? No, don't be scared. Celebrate the living. If you want to celebrate the dead too, go ahead. But it's more important to celebrate the living. Celebrate life, celebrate those who came before you, and be grateful. It is for your own good. It truly is for your own good. Yes, 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 you are listening to Ancestral Blueprints, which is every last Wednesday of the month. Your hosts are Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. And those of you saying, who's Lisa Iverson? Well, here she is. Hello, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm so well. Thank you, Ade. I could just keep listening to you all morning. Thank you for what you're saying. What a blessing. What a great start or pick up the day, whatever time zone people are in. Thank you.
I know, right? Just jump in and feast on the soul food. Yes, 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 I'm looking forward to our conversation. I'm going to do some announcements and we'll continue the conversation. Lisa Iverson is my co-host for Ancestral Blueprints. She's the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truths in America's Soul. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the truth? If you are, then pick up this book. If you're not, pick up this book. If you're clueless, pick up this book. You start to see life means something, that you're part of a life continuum. A stream of life is flowing through you as you. And you have something to give, something to offer. And you don't need to be talking to me on Facebook. Focus on what I'm talking about. Well, maybe I just need to turn my volume down. Okay, announcements. Here we go. Let's see. What do I have to tell you? That's today's topic. The gifts of gratitude. We can break that down in so many ways. That's the theme for November, and we're starting November off. Since it's the Halloween Eve, you know, we want to celebrate the all saintfulness that is within each and every one of us. So we want to just drop the seed of inspiration saying, this month, celebrate. Celebrate the living. Celebrate yourself. Be grateful for who you are. So we want to start from a great foundation, go into your blueprints. The foundation that goes deep, deep, deep down, that sometimes psychologists can't even get to it. You know, so you don't even know what you're going to experience. I don't even know how this show's going to unfold. But Lisa and I are saying, here I am, God, use us. So it's going to be good. The gifts of gratitude. And don't forget tomorrow, the play experience with Ambassador at 7 p.m. Eastern. The play experience with Ambassador Sofera. That's every Thursday. And on Friday, what happens on Friday? I'm looking at it. Yeah, on Friday, you can listen to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on Within Radio. We take you within and transform you, because when you don't tune in, you miss out. You must always tune in. So Within Radio, every Friday, every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, you can get another dose of Life Coach at a. And, yeah, if you don't know, the Ask Life Coach at a radio show is now broadcast only Monday to Wednesday. But of course, the last Wednesday of the month is different. Just to think, just something to make sure you are awake, live, and listening. So today's Ancestral Blueprint. And what else do I need to tell you? Monday we have Joan Gerber joining us. Joan Gerber is our psychic friend. Well, actually, she's a psychic medium. So tune in on Monday for Joan Gerber. Lots of great things happening on Life Conversations Radio. What else do I need to tell you? I can't think other than happy Halloween, happy whatever you celebrate, happy you, happy celebrating of yourself. So don't trick yourself. Just treat yourself to life. Life has so much to offer you. If you can but just open up and say, I surrender, I yield, I am aware that I am so much more. It's time for Ancestral Blueprints. I think that's everything. Let's see. I know Celestia needs to let me know now if I've said everything. I think I've covered everything. Okay, so let's just get ready to jump into this conversation. We want to lay a foundation. You know, actually, the foundation is laid a long time ago. Our ancestors, they're folks who don't believe they got ancestors. Oh, this world, they're dead and gone. Why are we even worried about them? Some of our ancestors, they've had experiences that we look back and makes us sad. You know, they've been enslaved. They've been put in concentration camps. Some of us have ancestors who just been living, who lived life lavishly, that their legacy still lives on. And really, all our ancestors, their legacy lives on. And Lisa and I are here today to help you just recognize the gifts of their life, the gift of your life, and helping you connect with gratitude. And there's so much to share, and I'm just, I'm excited. I love doing the show with Lisa, because Lisa, you know, as you know, we always talk at the end of the show and before the show. Maybe not right before the show, but days before the show, a day before the show. But anyway, my point is, it's a ride for me. It's an ancestral ride for me when I think about it. Because Lisa, you know, I when we finish the show, I'm usually feeling like, oh my God, I can't explain it. I just know what I felt, and so I'm grateful for you, Lisa, for the work you do, for who you are, and as we were talking yesterday, just the connection in vibration with you and I, and actually in with Celeste as well, because, you know, I was talking to Celeste, so there's this sort of energetic agreement that is happening, and I'm grateful for it. So, Lisa, how are you doing today?
I've just got the same gratitude, yeah, yesterday. I feel a sense of kind of wanting to maybe expand the circle of our conversation yesterday that you and I had, and with gratitude, very much feeling less place in the conversation as well. Very much grateful for her contribution to the topic today, and other places she holds with what you're bringing forth into the world. There are always people behind the scenes of projects that are in the light. Mm-hmm. And so people like Celeste, who are behind the scenes, what a gift it is for us to acknowledge them, the place to express gratitude.
You're so right about that. So you are so right about that, because, you know, people get to hear me Monday to Wednesday, but she makes my job easy. She helps me pull it together, helps me keep me grounded, and yes, I'm grateful for you, Celeste. Truly, truly grateful. She pulls from a deep well, and yes, I join you, Lisa, in just being grateful for Celeste and what she does that listeners don't even know about.
Yes. So she did not know, you know, we pick these topics. They come to us in whatever shape, you know, through you, through Celeste, through me, through this divine connection that's there all the time. But then, as you say, we don't know what direction it's going to go when we come together. To me, just that acknowledging this presence of the work that Celeste does behind the scenes, the invitation that's there, given our topic of gratitude and ancestry, for us to reflect a moment about who the people are in our lives. Maybe we are one of them who are behind the scenes of projects of any endeavor. It could be the very basic thing as what it takes to make a household run, you know? The historic presence of, because I'm a woman, I have a particular awareness of the invisibility of women throughout many generations behind us, the invisibility of women's work, what we would call women's work, you know, the tending of the children and the cooking in the kitchen, these jobs that don't get paid with a paycheck, but, you know, there are many other awards for these gifts that are shared, but how often women's work goes unacknowledged. So the opportunity to just come into a little bit more of embodied awareness of our own place, other people's places in our ancestries or in our lives, who are the people who go unacknowledged for the gifts that they share. And, you know, how might our lives become more expansive, more grounded, richer, for us to acknowledge and be acknowledged for these contributions? The big, deep, wide, rich.
Yes. I'm just so full just listening to you. It's like, that is so true. You know, as we talk about Celeste and we talk about our ancestors, we don't always see, well, we don't see the ancestors and their listeners who don't see Celeste or don't hear Celeste. You know, it's like on this show, she doesn't do a celestial moment, but on the Ask Life Coach radio show, yes. But it's that similarity. That just because we don't see somebody, just because we don't hear them with our physical ears, doesn't mean they don't exist and doesn't mean they're not there doing their work, as you said about mothers and females and the people we ignore. We're a society that honors those on the stage, but it takes a lot of people to get that person to the front, to the stage. And so each and every one of us, where we are right now, no matter what our lives look like, we can just think about the people that we don't see, the people who came before us, the loved ones, the ones who are still on this side of the realm and the ones who've made a transition, that did whatever they need to do for us to be here right now. You know, that is worth being grateful for. We could just end the show right there. We could just, like, just sit with that. Say, wow. Let's go deeper, because we're called to go deeper and some more. Brace yourself. I want to welcome all of you in the chat room for Saggy. It's nice to see you, Cheryl. Nice to see you. I'm grateful that you made it through, Sandy. Aloha, Jay. Jay, my brother. Are you in Canada? I think Jay's in Canada. Silent listeners, thank you all for being here. Celeste, Tanya, and all the other listeners that we can see and can't see. Those of you listening on the archive, thank you. Thank you so much. Aloha Jay, or Jay, said, have you seen the gratitude video? I don't know if I have. Well, if you have the link, post it in the chat room, and then I'll see it after the show. So, you're listening to Ancestral Blueprints. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We want to support you in looking back in this present moment, looking at the gift of life that you were given and how you could just recognize the ultimate gift of life and find that, you know, you're here for a reason. Because this thing, the gifts of gratitude, it's, you know, when you give of yourself, somebody is blessed. Somebody feels like, oh, I'm so grateful for the gifts. So the act of giving leaves somebody feeling grateful. And so you as the giver, you know, when you give a gift, you're usually feeling like, wow, you're happy. You're looking at their face and they say, this is for me. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes people break out in tears. I've always wanted this. Everybody receives the gift. And we want to look at that as, you know, let's look at the gift of life, the legacy that was left behind, and some of the things that we are attached to energetically on a soul level that we don't even know about, that may be even blocking us from moving forward. That's what Ancestral Blueprint is about, is helping us become aware and honoring the living, our ancestors. And so, Lisa, I don't know if you want to say if something's bubbling up, because I always come up with questions. So I just throw it over to you right now. You just dance together if there's anything bubbling up for you.
Yes, thank you. Yes, the awareness about gift giving. Yes, how it is that we receive gifts. There's the giving and then there's the receiving. So how is it that we do receive the gift of life, particularly when there are things that have happened in our families, in our ancestries, that have been difficult, that have been challenging? Most of our families have one dynamic or another, circumstances that can make it difficult to receive life in a full way.
Yeah.
So I work a lot with people in groups and in one-on-one, and watch, facilitate and watch, witness, hold space for making transformation from being stuck with things that have happened in the past,
uh-huh,
where they're maybe not able to move on from the things that have happened, or where they have an attachment to a story about who others are or who they are in the family web. And it is, frankly, a mystery to me how it is possible. I just know that it is possible because I witness it and I'm a part of it every day, how people can, when given permission, when given a sacred space, when given the ability to slow down for a little bit of time, how much it's possible to move out of those places, which are often partly a mental state. People get kind of trapped in the head. Their, you know, lived experience, a particular memory, you know, judgments, criticisms, stories, this kind of a thing, to move into a place of being more receptive to life. So this is, I guess, just in this moment, I feel a sense of, you know, it's like one of those holy invitations just to say that this is very possible. And maybe just to even paint a little bit of a picture, sometimes we don't even know that another picture exists other than the one that we're in.
Right?
We don't know, and we don't know what we don't know. Yeah.
Right.
You know, in this other vibration, this other picture that I'm speaking of, where people can kind of move out of their head, they can move into a more receptive of life place, it's really a place of coming into more present awareness that whatever has happened, whatever hasn't happened in the generation before us, that life got through. You know, it is so often the biggest thing that we miss seeing. So I, after many years in the field that I'm in, each time I say that, my body takes a deep breath. It's just a natural reflexive recognition from my spirit, from my body, that just has a sense of humility, you know, really, about so many things happen in our ancestry. So many things don't happen. And life got through, you know, if you're listening
right.
to this show. You know, you're in that category.
No, that's right. And life got through to you. But no matter what, in a concentration and say enslaved, rich or poor, whatever happened, abuse, life got through.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, when you say that, Lisa, I get it, I feel it, and it's very like when I just want to just sit with it, like, wow. Through it all, no matter what happened to my great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, and go as far back as I can even keep going great-great-great-great-great-great till I run out of greatness, which I can't, but anyway. It's like there is something about, when I think about that, that life got through. Now, as I was saying in the opening, you know, this is Halloween, and people are celebrating and tricking or treating themselves, or as we shared on the show yesterday, offering to smell each other's feet or give us something to eat. it seems to me, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm just thinking this morning, it seems like we are more open to celebrating the dead than celebrating the life of those who came before us. Now, people say, well, it's the same thing. But now, for me, I feel like we celebrate the dead as a scary thing that comes out. Scary movies, horror movies, I mean, they come and they take big money. But I don't know of a universal celebration of saying, let's recognize our ancestors. Let's recognize, maybe it's just different. But anyway, I don't know of one right now. That said, let's recognize the life that came before us, the life that got through, and we're here. And I say that to say that it seems like we don't really appreciate life sometimes. And I say we, I'm just a big globalization, but I'm talking about generalizing. There's this tendency not to really honor life. Now, we honor life depending on what our intention is, you know, if it's life begins at conception. But then later on, you know, we have a different kind of killing that happened. Or even when we're talking about war, we talk about, oh, there were children and women, and we'll stop there. I don't always hear people saying children, women, and men, as if the life of a man is not as sacred as a woman. So it's kind of interesting. This is just my personal thing, and if it doesn't fit listeners, I'm sharing my personal experience. Do you feel the same way?
Well, yeah.
You don't have to. You can disagree.
There's many images that come to mind. I'm thinking that in the States, in the U.S., there's a fair bit of cutoff. There's a fair bit of disconnection from, you know, ancestral traditions from all lands about how we are in connection with the dead, with our ancestors, because of the history of our country. You know, it's an immigrant country, and the things that it's a colonial country. We've got our slavery history, and all those things have meant a cutoff from traditions, Celtic, Gaelic traditions. You know, from Ireland, from Scotland, have centuries-old traditions, festivals around that are very much rooted in the rhythm of the seasons, and that are, you know, land-based, nature-based celebrations and ceremonies to mark beginnings and endings, the living and the dead, the cycles and the rhythms. Mexico and, you know, other Latin American, South American cultures are often, they have their own ceremonies and festivals in this way, you know. The Day of the Dead comes is rooted in Mexican tradition. Catholicism gets wrapped up in that tradition as well. But before Christianity, before institutional religion, there are these land-based ceremonies and traditions. So, but there, when you say what you're saying, I think it really reflects the sense of cutoff in the U.S. from this deep, deep, ancient, indigenous-based wisdom.
And Demi Fox in the chat room is also saying what you're saying. Like, well, in this country, in this society mostly, but she said that, or she, I don't know if it's she, but I'm sensing she. If you're he, then bear with me. they said, she said, but there are plenty of other societies that do value life. And they are. And so in the context of celebrating life, valuing life, and if we, I guess when we talk about valuing life from an ancestral blueprint perspective, like really honoring those that came through us, recognizing that life got passed on to us, what kind of things can we see happen in our lives individually, especially as a psychotherapist and a facilitator of family constellations, Lisa?
What can we, I want to feel the question a little bit more. Can you say it again, say it a little bit more?
Let me say it differently. What I'm sensing is if we become real conscious of recognizing that life got through, that life got passed on to us, and we really, including our spiritual practice and our daily movement, recognize that life got through and there's a sort of honor and a value that comes with that. I'm just kind of thinking what kind of, how would that show up or how could that show up in our lives, especially with some of the things that we're dealing with now with abuse, addiction and hate, and we see all of it happening with all this election, so much going on. It's like maybe you have a vision of how that could change who we are individually if we start honoring life consciously, not just as I know life is valuable, you know, really embody that.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I can tell you the range of what I witness and see in people's lives when that awareness begins to show up more in an embodied way. There's often a liftingness. There's often a lifting of whatever experience of burden or suffering that is sometimes there because a person is trying to make things better or different for their ancestors who had a burden or suffered.
Right.
You know? So when people start to realize that in the middle of whatever those circumstances were that life got through, the perspective shifts. The perspective of one's place in their ancestral blueprint becomes more clear that it's not their task to try to carry the burden of what was experienced by others before them. It's just, you know, so there's an awareness of past and present and future, how they all... Are you hearing a little static? Or is that just...
I think it's just... I think it's your ancestors whispering in your ears.
I didn't know if they were just whispering in
mine. Okay. It was just for you. They didn't want us to hear it. So keep you doing good what you're doing good, my daughter.
I have a lot going on with it, with electronics, so I'm getting a lot of electronics.
Oh, I hear you now. Funny enough.
Yeah. So I acknowledge that.
Now, isn't it? Oh, but now that's the thing. You know, this conversation that we're having, the whole thing about ancestral blueprints, isn't that once you become conscious, you get to hear something that wasn't there? Now, I don't know if I heard it before, I just wasn't conscious, but once you ask me if I can hear it, it's like, oh, there it is. And even that is enough in recognizing that life got passed on to us, that life got through. And so there's a simple act of just being willing to listen or hear, don't you think? It's like we don't have to do all this extra work to connect with our ancestors, and we're just trying so hard. We can just be willing to just hear and listen.
Exactly. And to be present and to be aware, you know, what I see in people's lives is how when there have been, you know, difficult, really difficult things that have happened in people's ancestries or in their own lived experience, it creates confusion about time. It's very disorienting. You know, so there can be a way that a person can be living their life, and it's really that their soul, their mind, their psyche is in contact with an earlier trauma that they experienced in their life 10, 20, 50 years ago, or some trauma or loss that happened earlier in the generations that their circle is in contact with. So had a conversation with a woman over the weekend who was very clear. She was talking with me that how much her walk in life is in contact with her great great grandfather's lived experience, and how, you know, she was realizing that there's a way she's not quite clear on the difference between her own life and his lived experience. And so it's feeling again the contact with your original question, you know, what difference does it make, how does it affect us when we, you know, come into that awareness about life being passed on. It's an invitation that comes up, brings us into more present time, into our own lives, our own space, and opens up clearer vision about each direction, about the past, the present, the future. You know, we're often working really hard on behalf of the past without even realizing it. We're doing, you know?
So the key is really to just surrender, just allow, just be willing, just be open, just become aware. And, you know, that whole thing about time, I think when we look at it from a logical perspective, it's, as you said, the past, the present, the future, it can get very confusing. But if we realize this is not a logical thing, it is more of a soul conversation. It is a soul conversation that goes beyond time and space. There are people, and we've talked about it several times on the show, where some people are saying, well, why should we even worry about our ancestors? They've lived their lives and they're gone. But the same people also would say, I want to know about my past life. So there's all this kind of thing that happens in the mind that the ancestors are dead or gone. Let's forget that. You know, if I can connect with my past life, and for me, I feel like they're all the same. But when we try to explain it and define it, we get lost. And I don't know your thoughts on that. Do you have any thoughts on the whole idea of past life and connecting with ancestors?
Yeah, well, there's not much I rule out, you know.
You said that so simply, but that is powerful.
Yeah, it's not my place to think something exists or doesn't exist, you know that.
Right.
That's not my place. But what I also see is how much confusion we have about our biological lineages.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, such a profound disconnection sometimes within our own ancestries that a lot of times a person, I think in the U.S., a lot of times a person is in resonance with some energy from their own ancestries, and they don't know that that's the case. And so the best way that they have of understanding it is that it's a past life experience.
Interesting.
I see, very common thing. And we have we probably have a break coming up.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe after the break I could explain, just do a little refresher on the constellation approach for new to listening, because that might help kind of shed a little bit of light, too, on how that could be the case.
I think that's a good idea. We're going to take the break now, but that's a good idea because I wanted to ask you, how would someone even distinguish if they're, if they're in their resonance with their ancestors and saying, well, it's a past life thing. So, yeah, let's deal with that. And then we can, and this conversation help us see how to be grateful for the past and the present and realize, really, it's all one. For the sake of the mind, we don't want to confuse your mind. Yeah, how to be grateful for our ancestors, the gift that they left us, that they passed life on to us. We are going to take a break. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. Feel free to share your thoughts in the chat room as well, your questions. We're happy to take your questions, your thoughts, your disagreements, your agreement, your confusion. Just bring it, because you know what? This is the house of love. So everything that you bring to the table will be elevated and we'll all be blessed by your gift. The intention is always love, so we surrender to love. And we clear our throat to love. And we take a break in the name of love. And we'll be right back. 347-426-3346.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Dick-a-doodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks? Dick-a-doodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
That's right. Life Conversations Radio is activating your voice, your throat chakra, your point of expression. You have a gift. You have something to say. You have a song to sing. It's time to release it. We all need it. So when you're gone, others, the ones that come after you, can have something to be grateful for. And they can talk about the work that you've done and how they're so grateful for their ancestors, their great-great-great-grandmother, grandfather, uncle, aunt, whatever. Yes, you are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. Lisa Iverson is the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truths in American Soul. She's a psychotherapist, a facilitator of family constellations, and you can find out more about her work by going to lisaiverson.com. Lisa, L-I-S-A, Iverson, I-V-E-R-S-E-N.com. And just before the break, we were talking about, you know, being in resonance with one's ancestor. Some people may think, oh, well, maybe it's to do with past life. And Lisa was talking about family constellations. And so, Lisa, you want to break that down for new listeners and a reminder for regular listeners?
Yeah, thank you. So family constellations or systemic constellations, this is an approach that was developed in Germany about 30 years ago by a man named Bert Hellinger. He built it based on the integration of other kinds of healing modalities that came before him. And actually the roots of it, I would say, the roots of this approach are deeply in contact with indigenous wisdom. It is this approach that happens both, it's led by in a group setting and also in one-on-one work, either in person or on the phone, that has to do with us being able to experience how the larger map of our ancestry can be influencing us still today. So particularly around order of a relationships between parents and children, between grandparents and grandchildren, between partners and love relationships, between siblings, between the living and the dead. We pay close attention to these dynamics and how they might still be influencing us. It all has to do with promoting clarity of belonging, that everybody belongs in the family. So no matter what they did, no matter what they didn't do, that they have a place of belonging. And when there have been injustices that have occurred, which is the case with many, many families, whether it's injustice within the family itself or like a larger experience of injustice, so like native genocide, slavery, these larger collective kinds of injustices, bringing to light those experiences and how that might still be often resonating in the generations later, how to work with those images in a way that leaves guilt where it's meant to be left, supports people to break free from carrying burdens that don't belong to them, these kinds of things. It's an approach that is just profoundly and quickly brings to light how these principles of how love is operating want to be seen and honored. And so this is a field that I've been in since 1998 and builds on the work and knowledge that I have as a psychotherapist. But it's good to say that it's not psychotherapy. It's really quite different than psychotherapy because it's really not about the individual. It's about the whole map of our ancestry, and it's not about fixing anything or changing anything or analyzing anything or medicating anything. All the kinds of ways that traditional psychotherapy can be really helpful. It has a place, but it's not a replacement for this kind of soul work that has to do with what promotes clarity about receiving life and, being clear in our place, too, as future ancestors. So there's a commonality that we're all invited to see that can come through this work. The commonality, for all of us, that we're all descendants. We all have ancestors. We are all future ancestors. It's a really rich way for us to experience these wisdoms.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's different words that you use when you were talking about family constellations, and I think of today's theme, the topic, the gifts of gratitude and being grateful for those who came before us and being grateful for the life that got through, the life that lives in us. One that jumped at me was the whole thing when you said carrying burdens that don't belong to us. From your work and working with people through family constellations, how does that show up sometimes when people are carrying burdens that don't belong to them, and how would they even know it's not theirs?
Well, it's sometimes hard to know this by oneself, you know. it's a great question because we, for me, what pops into my head is how deeply we need other people, you know. We're not meant to navigate life just by ourselves. So, I guess it's what happens when people come to work with me. It's one of the things that often shifts is that when they're in our work together, they can see when I begin to point some things out, and when I ask questions to check things out, then it becomes clear that that's what's happening. Mm. So sometimes it's really hard to know this by ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
I will just kind of some general guideline about it, you know, for whatever we're experiencing in our lives, just the having the general question in our hearts that is something like, you know, really simple things. You know, who else in my family maybe felt this way?
Uh-huh.
Who else in my family experienced? You know, we're often, more than we know, inclined to just repeat the same experiences of our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. So sometimes it's more obvious than anything. We haven't been able to slow down to see it, you know. So those are the two kinds of questions that can be really illuminating to carry in one's heart. To see that, yeah.
I wanted to ask you in that same, you know, energy, if you will. You know, when we are talking about gifts of gratitude and gift of life and being grateful for those who came before us, what about somebody who maybe their parents, grandparents, the experience that they've lived, left them feeling just confused because there's been a history of abuse or addiction or whatever, just all kind of trauma. How can they start to turn things around to actually be grateful for the life that got through to them?
Yeah. Well, there's different images that come to mind, actually.
Mm-hmm.
If a person is a parent or an aunt or an uncle, you know, so if they're in a position in their family where they have children, there's a next generation being born after them, then they can look at those children as a reminder that, you know.
Yeah, I'm feeling that quick.
You get what I'm saying? Children remind us of so many things. One of the things they embody is this deep wisdom about life getting passed on. The children are able to be born because there were generations before them. It's just too simple, you know. Our mind.
It is too simple.
Yeah.
As you talk, I get this idea, metaphor, analogy, I don't know. But, you know, if it's too painful to look to the past, look at the future, and you say the children, to kind of, there's something, when you said that for me, it's like, yeah, there's something about children, they just activate love inside of you just without even trying. You know, they just have a way of waking us up and helping us remember what is true. And I can see how that can start to bring people back, you know, to bring people back to the present. So, you know, it's just really connecting with love or with awareness. Like, well, you know, even though they did what they did, they were horrible, whatever we want to call it, because of them, I have these children, I have these nieces, these nephews, or whatever the case may be. But as you said, it is so simple that the mind says, well, yeah, I understand that, but you still can't excuse what was done. But the soul says, it's okay. Focus on love. It is. It's a way to sort of bring us back to the present. So if the past is too bitter to look at, focus on the present, or focus on the future, look at the children, and it will bring you to the present moment to say, you know, I am grateful. I love that image.
Yeah, and you know, most people have some quality of self-reliance operating many times that quality is has become overly developed that keeps us from accessing help and support resource in others. There's a strong flavor in the U.S. field that says I have to do everything myself. And that tends to look not so kindly on relying on others. The reality is the human experience, this is part of the human experience, is relying on others. Being able to do things for ourselves is also very important, but we need each other. You know that is that, and we're at a point in our human history where more than ever do we need each other. You know, as a species, we will survive together or we will die together as a species. Climate change, the road we are all on together with climate change, means the survival or the death of our species.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It's not one person doing anything. This is like a collaborative deal we're in with each other. So
we're all a piece of a puzzle, right?
That's right. And so the families... the family piece of this, reconciling family history, is a very important, essential part of our survival as a species.
I was going to ask you about the whole thing about belonging.
Yeah.
And then I think of people who say, I don't need anybody. You know, and if you say, you can say that, it makes you feel safe, but the fact that you're saying that is a reminder that you do need somebody, because somebody is taking care of your transportation, of your electric, of your water, something, of your house, your apartment. You can't help but, it's just part of the web. But I don't know if you can tie that in, but I really want to talk about belonging. And as you and I were talking about yesterday, because you brought that up, and it just kind of it just activated something in me that I needed. Wow, I didn't even think about that. You can talk about what it means and, you know, how that is linked to gratitude and anything else that you want to hear, really.
Well, a person who feels I don't need anybody, I want to go back to that before I move more into the belonging. You know, a person who says, I don't need anybody, it's likely their soul is in resonance with somebody else who either felt that same way, you know, or their place of belonging was kind of on the outside of the family group. So the thing, that's the kind of the mind can't really understand it, but what I see over and over in my work is a profound experience of I don't need anybody is in deep contact with somebody.
Like somebody with their answer, someone before them, right?
That's right. And it's also a common family pattern of it's a common family pattern of confusion between parents and children.
What you mean?
Well, where parents maybe were not able to parent in a way that really supported the child developing in the way that they hoped or needed, truly needed. So the child's way of coping, yeah, is to reject the parents.
Yeah.
And to say, well, I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself.
Right.
I'll do it with you. Yeah. It's a pretty young, it's a childlike place.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I mean, I see an image of a 2-year-old saying, I want to do it by myself. They scream if they can't do it by themselves, but we got to mature and grow and understand the interdependency of life. Yeah.
And it's important to respect it, not to judge it. Our minds like to judge things because it protects us from a feeling of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the
invitation. So you're saying the judgment protects us from the feeling of pain?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because judgment is a mental state.
You said it's a what? Your phone did something funny
It's a mental state.
Yes, yes. I always say judgment is a painkiller. You know, people judge because they're in pain. So once they can judge and go off on a tangent, they feel a little bit better. Now, I told you, give you a piece of my mind. I'm better than them.
Yeah.
It is truly that. So let's talk about belonging.
Yeah. Well, it might seem like a radical message, but it's an ancient message, really, that reminds us that we all belong. Everybody belongs, no matter what they did, no matter what they didn't do. A lot of times what happens in family life is there's a person who maybe they did something that caused shame to themselves or to the family or that has a lot of guilt to it. So there's a way that in the family's soul they kind of live in an unacknowledged place. They become somebody who, like, we're not going to talk about that person, or we're not going to talk about what they did. So there's a way that their place of belonging is not really fully being honored.
Right, right.
Yeah. So what happens then is that descendant, people who come later in the generations after them, out of love, totally unconsciously, they end up trying to carry or resonate with that experience of not belonging. So it becomes very confused, you know. People
right.
Confused, you know, about where they belong because they're trying to make somebody else's place of belonging restored.
Right, and we start to see ourselves sometimes, somebody who is even aware enough or maybe done their spiritual work or just becoming conscious to what the meaning of life, if you will, start to see themselves, well, I'm just different. I'm just a black sheep, and I've accepted that. I know that was my story, and now I'm realizing that, you know, I'm so alike with my family members and my brother, my sisters, my dad, my mom, but I used to see myself as the different one. You know, there's still things that there's some memory that lingers, but I think sometimes in calling ourselves the black sheep or the one that's different, the one who went on a different spiritual path or the one who listened to different kind of music, you know, I think all of that, those labels are just the intellectual understanding, isn't it? That's what I'm getting from what you're saying. Because especially those on the spiritual path, from my experience, people would say, well, I'm different. My parents don't think like this. My family members are more religious. I'm spiritual. Is that the same thing? Let me just make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. Is that the same thing when we feel like we're different from the rest of our family members?
Yeah. It's one flavor of it. It's absolutely one flavor.
Okay.
There's so many ways that it gets expressed. And the thing that can be challenging for us but it's a really gift when we can move through it. It's to this place realizing we're all unique and special, but we're all just the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're all, each of us is unique and special, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's that second piece of just like everybody else that really promotes the belonging. So there's a lot. There's a lot that goes on with this topic that we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, because I sort of am aware to, in a way, if you will, not to try to intellectualize it too much, but and then trying to listen for listeners. So those who are saying, wait a minute, I don't quite understand to break it down, but it's just like this fine line between letting it be and still trying to be able to break it down. And I'm just kind of sensing, feeling that it's this work gets to do us, if you will, through the rituals and the things that we create in our lives, and honoring and remembering those who came before us and recognizing the life that got passed on. And I just want to ask you this, if you're getting, well, we've still got about another 10 minutes or so. What can we do on a day-to-day basis to sort of keep to, for a soul remembrance of this life that got passed on? What can we do? Rituals, prayer?
A couple things come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Simple things, simple. You know, we can take a minute and close our eyes, take a couple deep breaths, picture somebody who came before us. Could be a mom, could be a dad, could be a grandparent, could be a tribe that our ancestry, that's a part of our ancestry. But picture somebody who came before you and just say thank you. It's again, it's really just way too simple.
But you mean close my eyes and say thank you to someone comes to my mind? I say thank you, then what, Lisa? I mean, come on now, give me some more.
These were soul action. This is how disconnected we are. Partly what we say, from a lot of things, but also from the divine feminine. Because, you know, masculine energies are all about doing and action.
Yes.
This is really important. But there's an imbalance. It's a whole other conversation, but it's a part of this one. Bringing forward balance between the masculine and feminine is a big piece of what we're all called to do right now. Having a moment, you know, if it were that easy to take a moment to close our eyes, take a deep breath, and to move into this prayerful space that I'm talking about, well, we'd all be doing it every day if it were that easy.
Right.
So to throw it aside and to dismiss it as, well, that's all, like, I should be doing more, shows us how disconnected we are from that feminine.
I love that. I love that, how you link it to the energy. Because it's like, you know, you think about it, that the sperm and the egg is just sitting patiently, and the sperm is trying to get to it, and, you know, the egg just is. And that sense of just saying thank you and just being there, not trying to do anything, not trying to get anywhere. Yes, of course, even in the just being there and sitting still, activities happening already, but there's that other things that we think we must do. It is, like you said, it's just way too simple. I mean, I do have moments where I look back
from being around you and doing the family constellation where I give thanks for my ancestors and just say thank you. But as I listen to you now, there's still a part of me saying, okay, Lisa, but what else? Can you give people something? There's a part of me that wants to say, yeah, okay, thank you. I was actually, I found myself feeling like you're going to say thank you and then something else. You know, like, okay, thank you, and then what? It is so light, and that's it. It's so simple, but not always easy.
Right, right. And, you know, I think really we're all in one big laboratory, you know. We don't know the effect till we do that. I mean, that's kind of how I spend my day, and I get a lot done, and I'm a pretty active person with a full plate in a lot of different ways. But this kind of a thing that I'm describing is, it's woven into my being at this point, what I see in my own life. It promotes more freedom to be productive and to be present in my life to get the things done I need to get done and that I'm called to be action-oriented about. But, you know, we don't know it until we try it. Like most things, we just don't. And so, and I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm just answering your question. That if people feel inclined to want to really, in a very experiential, embodied, practical way, this is really practical what I'm describing. This doesn't cost any money. I don't like going to see anybody. You know, you can do it wherever you are, in the grocery store, at home. I mean, again, like in the States, we are thinking that we got to just, like, go to some big seminar, pay $5,000 to see something, or, you know, take three buses across town and knock ourselves off, make it be really complicated and hard. You can do that if you want. I mean,
sure. Oh, wow.
But what I'm saying is maybe not. Because what I see is that wherever you are, your ancestors are right with you all the time. Your ancestors are in you all the time. They are the most accessible resource you could ever find. They are right there because you exist.
I mean, what way, what better way to show gratitude by looking at your root system and giving thanks to the root system for sustaining you, to give it to, you know, to having fruits, to be able to embrace and share the harvest. You know, here's a thing that popped in my head. Usually, sometimes some people, they might open a door for somebody, hold a door for somebody. People are so rude nowadays. They don't even say thank you, you know. Or sometimes we do something for somebody and we're not even expecting to hear thank you. And they say, you know, thank you for what you did. But we know how it moves us. We know how we get touched when someone says, really genuinely say thank you. Or if we hold a door and acknowledge us. So for me, I've just gone up, just listening to you, I'm going through my process, how powerful what you just shared with us. Like, just catch an image of someone in your ancestry and just say, thank you.
Yes.
It's honoring. You talk about the gifts. It's today's topic, the gifts of gratitude. It's in being grateful, we get to receive the gift of this present moment and really honor ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. And it is a package deal that when we say thank you to who and where we come from. It is this package deal. It helps us receive life more. It helps us to receive people saying thank you to us.
Yes.
It opens our hearts and our soul and our minds to be able to receive gratitude from others. It's a package deal.
Yes. Gratitude. Let me just, as we get ready to release this show, let me just throw this to you, Lisa. When you think of gratitude, what comes up for you? How do you define gratitude? What inspires gratitude? Anything you want to share? What inspires gratitude in you? Just a little bit of questions, but I'm just stimulating thoughts. So I'm not attached to what you answer. Which one? Even something different.
Well, gratefulness, thanks, acknowledgement. There's acknowledgement of receiving something that's it's implicit with gratitude. With gratitude, we've received something. And I guess that kind of brings us full circle to the beginning where we started, is sometimes we, in the busyness of our lives, in the maps that we come from where a lot's happened and there's confusion maybe that has been passed on, we've lost contact with this, with what a profound gift life is.
Yeah.
So on this Halloween, Hallow's Eve, Eve of the Day of the Dead, where the veil is quite thin between the living and the dead, what better day than today for us to have this conversation? What divine timing. It's to see that those of us who are alive and in our bodies, there's still a contact of some kind with those who've already passed on, you know, whether with ancestors or people from our own generation or people after us, you know. There's a sacredness to be able to see that while there can be grief for sure from experiencing the death of a loved one, to remember that love never dies. Love never dies. So being grateful for life being passed on allows us to open our heart to how deeply we love those who've already passed on too.
Okay.
And due to that, it supports us living well and really knowing that life is for the living. We're all going to die sometime. That's the hope. But when we're alive, life is for the living, you know.
The gift of gratitude is to remind us that love never dies. And even in the words gratefulness, it's like we're full. I like to play with words that we're full of greatness. So when we're feeling less than, just to say thank you. You know, when we feel that we're not enough, to find a reason to be in gratitude, which I sometimes say being in great attitude. And we really make connection with love. So the gift of gratitude is to remember and to be reminded that love never dies. And that's what we are. Oh, wait, you got somebody gonna call in. I had my eyes closed. I'm just enjoying this. Let's see if we take a quick call. 7-0, guess not. Well, I guess they want to just let us know that they were present. Lisa, anything else you want to share, add to, before we release the show?
I'm grateful for this person who just called but didn't call, that we the ones who are present who we can't see, you know,
right,
both in our conversation today and then in always. And deep gratitude to you, Ade, and gratitude to Celeste. And
thank you, Lisa. I'm so grateful for you. I feel like I've known you all my life, and I have. For me, now this planet is just a reunion, and I'm so grateful for what you bring to the table. It is very simply powerful and is needed. And lots of love to you, Lisa.
Love to you too. Love to everybody. We'll be with you next month.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Lisa. Love to the family.
Okay, you too. Bye bye.
Bye. Ancestral Blueprints is wrapping up and getting released into the ether so that others can catch it. So that somebody right now is just finding a moment to be grateful, to recognize that they belong. to know that they are the place where God gets to represent himself, herself. And I am grateful and thankful that we're learning to embrace feminine energy. May we all be whole. May we all be joyful. May we all be grateful. This is Ricky Byers Beckwith. I thank you. And we thank you. And you thank you. Because the gift of gratitude is to remind you that love never dies. Oof, I'm so full. I'm so grateful. Thank you all for your contribution, for listening, for sharing in the chat room, for listening, even if it's just for 5 minutes, 5 seconds, for your energy. You're just listening. You may agree or disagree or have a different perspective. Thank you for contributing to the soul food. I'm out of here. I'll see you back here on Life Conversations Radio on Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern. And all the shows are archived. You can go to iTunes. I tune in to you, you tune in to me. And when we tune in to each other, we belong. Ricky Byers Beckwith, we let it be. I thank you. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings.
A wonderful reality. Oh, and I pray for strength to keep seeing just like. Being so
conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.